Our passage this morning on this Thanksgiving Sunday is the 147th Psalm, a psalm that has its refrain, praise the Lord, and also to sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. And so we're going to take a look at this psalm and think about what it is that we're thankful for, why we're thankful, and a little bit of what thankfulness looks like, how it might work its way into our daily lives and not just sort of live on one weekend a year. So let's read Psalm 147. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he strengthens the bars of your gates. He blesses your children within you. He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest of the wheat. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters frost like ashes. He hurls down his crystals of ice like crumbs. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He makes his wind blow and the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and rules to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his rules. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, open your word to us. Remind us of your steadfast love and create in us hearts full of thanks for you, for the many ways in which you provide for us, protect us, watch over us. So we pray, open up your scriptures to us this morning. Holy Spirit, do your work within us to make the meaning of your word plain, to apply it to our hearts and to our lives, to build within us love for Jesus and the desire to know him, follow him, obey him, become like him. This Thanksgiving, we pray more than anything else that you will use our expressions of thanks to shape our hearts in a Christ-like fashion, to become more like him and to reflect him more in our lives and in the world. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. I love this psalm. I love it for several reasons. I love some of the very strange and particular and precise ways that it describes God's power. Some of them, I think, are particularly obvious to us as Edmontonians, that God displays his power and his might in hurling ice crystals from heaven, and who can stand before his cold, right? That feels It feels a little Albertan almost. And I love some of the things that have been written about this psalm. We'll get to them more towards the end of the message. The reformer Martin Luther has some particularly insightful and beautiful things to say about this psalm. But there's this refrain throughout the psalm. The psalm has "Praise the Lord" as its refrain. It opens with it in verse 1. It closes with it in verse 20. It repeats it again in verse 12, and it gives one very concrete way to praise the Lord in verse 7, to sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. That is one of the ways that we praise God, is by thanking Him for who He is, for what He does. And that seems fairly straightforward. That's not a huge surprise. We take a day every year to reflect on the things that we're thankful for, and that's a good thing to do. But the Bible seems to speak of thankfulness not necessarily as a thing that we pull out of the closet once a year to do, or even as an occasional matter of reflection, but something that's meant to characterize us as believers. It was read in our passage from Colossians this morning that thankfulness is woven all throughout the second half of that reading. Colossians 2 talks about walking with Jesus in terms of abounding in thankfulness. The next chapter couples thankfulness with the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts. And Philippians 4 says that we can even bring our anxieties to God with thanksgiving. 1 Timothy 4 says that nothing God has created is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. Clearly, thankfulness is key to our lives as those who belong to Jesus. So why is that? Why do we give thanks to God? And what does it even mean to give thanks to God? Well, that's what this psalm is going to help us to think about this morning, this weekend, and then hopefully to think about what this means for us regularly on a daily basis. Okay. So why do we give thanks to God? Well, the psalm tells us because He is deserving of praise. That's the first thing. Because He is deserving of praise. Verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting." It's the way that the psalm starts is essentially that praising God is in itself a worthwhile activity. There doesn't need to be some occasion that will bring it out, but that a song of praise is always fitting to the Lord. This is addressed in much the same way at the beginning of Psalm 92. I just want to read the first few verses of that psalm. Psalm 92, the first four verses say, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy." Notice it starts, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High." The statement is essentially, it is a good thing to praise the Lord, full stop. Thankfulness and praise are inherently good things when they are directed towards our Maker. They are good in and of themselves. And this is an important point, that thankfulness is derived from who God is, that He is deserving of it on His own. Because I've heard and read a good deal about thankfulness over the last few years as sort of our social awareness of things like mental health and of work-life balance and these sorts of things get get sort of bandied about in the press and in our sort of social consciousness. I've heard the theme of thankfulness come up quite a bit. And there's a recognition that this practice of being thankful for the good things that exist in our lives is actually good for us. As I was sort of bouncing around the internet this week, and as things always sort of come up in some of our Canadian outlets about thankfulness in the week before Thanksgiving, I actually came across a CBC article in its kids section that was talking about the value of thankfulness. So it was talking to kids about why thankfulness is good, and it said that thankfulness makes others feel good when we say thank you to them for things that they've done to us, that it gives us confidence, that it makes us more positive, that it can help us sleep, and that it makes us happy. And these are all relatively good things. I'm not opposed to any of those in general. But notice that the way that we talk about thankfulness usually, the reason that thankfulness is good is because it has positive personal effects for us. That it makes us feel better, say, or it makes other people feel better, and that's why it's good. And I'm sure there's some measure of truth to all the things that that little article said, but Psalm 147 and Psalm 92 want us to take another step back in our reasoning, to realize that there is an even greater purpose, an even greater reason that lies behind why thankfulness is a worthwhile practice. Not first because it makes us feel good, not first because it makes others feel good, though it likely does those things a lot, and those aren't bad things, but the truer reason that stands behind those is because God Himself is worthy of praise and thanks, that it is good, inherently good, to praise the Lord, to give thanks to the Lord for His provision, for what He has done. We say, this makes you happy, therefore it's a good thing. But Psalms 92 and 147 say, thankfulness is inherently good because God is deserving of praise. Therefore, thankfulness is good for you. Our own well-being isn't the starting place for why we give thanks. Rather, God's goodness is. We give thanks because God is deserving of it. And when our lives are attuned to the truths of God's nature, that is good for us. When there's an internal monologue that we're having, where we are reminding ourselves, where we are opening up our eyes to see God's provision and goodness at work around us, that is good for us. In fact, I think thankfulness is probably one of the things we need most in our cultural moment. It's something of an antidote to cynicism and complaint that have just wormed their way into the way that we operate on a day-by-day basis. We and maybe I'm speaking more for folks who are my age or maybe a little bit younger, I don't know. But it seems as though we lean on cynicism and complaining pretty heavily for just interacting with the outside world. That our go-to reaction for so many things that we see happen in the world around us or that happen to us is, ugh, or is everything is the worst, right? This is the way that we talk. We love to overstate. We love hyperbole. But is everything the worst? And if everything is the worst, how is there any room for a practice like thankfulness to God if everything is the worst? How can we ever give God the praise He's due when we are hardwired to complain about nearly everything? Thankfulness, singing a song of praise to the Lord, takes us out of our sort of myopic focus on our own cares and disappointments and refocuses us on, on the one who gives all good gifts. The practice of being thankful to God for what we see Him doing, it changes our predisposition away from one that is ready to see ugliness and things for which we should complain at any given turn. And it teaches us to look for the things for which we want to give thanks, for which we want to glorify God and praise Him. It reminds us that God is there and that He's good. So we give thanks because God is there and because He deserves our praise. It is inherently good to sing a song of praise or a song of thanks to the Lord. So we give thanks because God is deserving of praise. We also give thanks because God is powerful. Second thing, because God is powerful. Look back again at Psalm 147 and at verses 4 and 5. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. And then move down to verse 16. He gives snow like wool. He scatters frost like ashes. He hurls down His crystals of ice like crumbs. Who can stand before His cold? He sends out His word and melts them. He makes His wind blow and the waters flow. Now that I think we can relate to a little bit. And I, in general, know some of us are absolutely in love with the winter, right? It is our favorite thing. And sometimes some of us are really happy when we see spring arrive, right? And we see that first day where the temperatures get above freezing and some of the snow starts to melt. And we perhaps a little bit facetiously say, this is proof that there is a God. I see His goodness in the melting snow. But the psalm says the same thing should happen in the middle of a blizzard, in the middle of an ice storm. When the cold sets in that is so cold that we say, who can stand this cold? This is a demonstration of God's power. Do we ever step outside and it's so cold that it hurts to breathe and we think, if I wasn't wearing the right clothing, I would die right now. It's a demonstration of God's power. And it says the same thing about His power in verses 4 and 5. That He put all of the stars into the sky. He numbered them. He knows exactly how many there are. It says that He gave them their names, that we have this practice of naming stars, right, and naming constellations and all of that. God has His own names for the stars, given each one its name, that we look out into the heavens, into space, and we see the vastness of it, the hugeness of it, and we're reminded of our own smallness. And yet it's also true that if we look out at that vastness, we are witnessing the truth of God's power, that He placed all of it there. And this is a truth about God that I think before we come to know Him, it seems like a reason not to give thanks. Let me explain what I mean. I've had conversations with a number of my friends who aren't believers, or maybe who were for a while, but now are severely questioning the faith that they, perhaps that they grew up with, and will say something like, if this God that you say that you believe in is there, if He is this big, this powerful, this great, why would He have anything to do with us? Or often it's followed up by something like, if God is there and He's all powerful and can do whatever He wants, do you really think that He would care about fill in the blank with the thing that you want to do, but the Bible says that you shouldn't? See, the reasoning goes, the upshot is, If the God of the Bible is real, if he is this powerful, that he flung the stars into space, gave them their places, has numbered each and every one of them and knows them by name, if he is real, he is too big to care about me. If God is so powerful, it's impossible that he would concern himself with little old me. And Psalm 147 describes him as powerful. It says he is abundant in power, and his understanding is beyond measure. That language that it uses of naming the stars, it's repeated in Isaiah chapter 40. And there, in that chapter, in Isaiah 40, it answers this question, that such a powerful God wouldn't have a mind for little things like us. Let's read it very quickly. Isaiah chapter 40, and we're going to read verses 25 to 29. Isaiah 40, 25 to 29. To whom then will you compare me that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see, that is, look up to the sky and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host by number, he numbers them. Calling them all by name, he named them. By the greatness of his might, he's strong and powerful. And because he is strong in power, not one is missing. So why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, why do you say, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Verse 27 there is key. It says, if all of this is true, why do you say, my way is hidden from the Lord, and he disregards my right? Isaiah says, if God is so powerful, how could we ever say, God doesn't care about me. God doesn't know that I'm here. God doesn't know what I need. Isaiah says the point instead we want to say, if God is so powerful, it's impossible that he would concern himself with me. Isaiah says the point rather is that God is so powerful that it's impossible that he would forget you. We give thanks to God because his power means that he knows you intimately. Your way is not hidden from him. Your right is not disregarded by him. You have a heavenly Father who sees you, and it's impossible that he doesn't. And we give thanks to him because of how he uses his power, how he reveals himself through it. Okay, we give thanks to God because he's deserving of praise, because he's powerful, and this is the last thing, because he uses his power to provide. Because he uses his power to provide. Open up the psalm one more time, verses 8 and 9, and then again to 13 and 14. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry. And then down to verse 13. For he strengthens the bars of your gates. He blesses your children within you. He makes peace in your borders. And he fills you with the finest of the wheat. The psalm tells us God is interested in the weather, the animals, your security, and your food. And it talks about how he provides for all of those things. The point is that God is powerful and that he uses his power to provide for his creation. He sends sunshine and rain, crops will grow. He sees to it that there is food for the birds. It says he strengthens the bars of your gates. He makes for your security. He fills you with the finest of the wheat. And by the way, this is what I'm referring to in the title of the sermon, Thankfulness for Bars and Wheat. I didn't realize bar had so many meanings in the English language. We're talking about the bars on a gate, okay? There's a time for giving thanks for other kinds of bars, but this is the one that we're talking about this morning. So what should we be thankful for? Usually we say the big things, right? I'm thankful that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, because I'm a sinner, and because on my own, I've wandered away from God. On my own, I hate him. On my own, I don't want to follow him. And on my own, I'm going to be held liable for all of my sins, for all of the things that I've done to offend against God's laws, to hurt myself, to hurt other people throughout my life. On my own, I'm stuck when I meet my Maker. But he sent his son, Jesus Christ, who came and obeyed perfectly in my place. He went to the cross and died a sacrificial death. He died in my place to pay the penalty that my sins deserve, because the wages of sin is death. And he rose again to show that God has power over even death. That there can be, in fact, there is life on the other side of death. And that through believing in Jesus, believing that he came to do this for me, our sins can all be forgiven and washed away. We can have God's love. We can be invited and adopted into his family and live forever on the other side of death in a world without sin or pain or misery. So yes, we should absolutely give thanks for the big things this weekend. Praise the Lord. We say, I'm thankful for a warm home and delicious food. Absolutely, yes. I'm thankful for good friends or family, yes. But there is so much more. So much more. Verse 13 calls on the people of Jerusalem to praise the Lord because it says, he strengthens the bars of your gates. Now, here's the question. Were the bars of all the gates on the city wall of Jerusalem just supernaturally stronger than the bars of all of their neighbors' gates? Maybe, but that doesn't seem to be the point here. In reading this psalm, and in preaching on this psalm, the reformer Martin Luther connected it to God's works of providence in watching over all of our lives. And he wrote this. He said, by the word bars, we must understand not only the iron bar that a smith can make, but everything else that helps to protect us, such as good government, good city ordinances, good order, and wise rulers. This is a gift of God. And then later, in his large catechism, when discussing the petition for daily bread in the Lord's Prayer, he writes, when you pray for daily bread, you are praying for everything that contributes to your having and enjoying your daily bread. You must open up and expand your thinking so that it reaches not only as far as the flour bin and baking oven, but also out over the broad fields, the farmlands, and the entire country that produces, processes, and conveys to us our daily bread and all kinds of nourishment. And to sum up all of this, as to God's providence for us through these various arrangements, Luther says this. This is beautiful. He says this. What else is all our work to God, whether in the fields, in the garden, in the city, in the house, in war, or in government, but just such a child's performance by which he wants to give his gifts in the fields, at home, and everywhere else. These are the masks of God, behind which he wants to remain concealed and do all things. This is the thing. This is the thing that will open up a world of things for which to give thanks to us. All the cogs in the machine that provide for us are the masks that God wears as he feeds and protects and provides for you. That God is there providentially, not only when he intercedes supernaturally in history, but in the normal everyday carrying out of events, in the ways that we are protected by those who work to protect, police, firefighters, doctors, nurses, soldiers, by the way that we are fed by those who work to feed, farmers, ranchers, truck drivers who take it all from one place to another, the person who checks you out when you get your groceries at the store. These aren't just accidents. These are the normal everyday ways that God provides for you. Luther says they are the masks that God wears. It's the farmer who grows his crops and harvests them and sells them. But behind it all is the Lord providing for your needs. All the cogs in the machine that provide for us are the masks that God wears as he feeds and protects and loves you. God strengthened Jerusalem's bars by giving them smiths and soldiers and good government and wise rulers. He feeds you by providing fields that yield crops, farmers to work the land, trucks that haul it where it is needed, stock boys who keep the shelves full, and cashiers who check you out with your food, ranchers and butchers for your meat. Luther says these are all the masks of God. They are all his hidden providence in meeting your needs. So thankfulness is good and needed today and tomorrow. It's also needed 3 months from now when you have to slow down behind a delivery truck going 20 under the speed limit on the highway. When that happens, we can swear and complain and ride his tail and get angry. Or we can give thanks that this truck is delivering bread or oil or wood or diapers or whatever it is that's needed to those who need them. That this is yet another mask of God in providing for our needs. That your momentary inconvenience is actually the work of God in his world to provide for the needs of his creatures. When we live with thankfulness, we start to see God at work everywhere. And then we give him thanks because he deserves it, because he's good, because it is a good thing to do in and of itself, because he is so powerful and he uses his power to provide for the needs of his world, his creatures, his people. Let's pray. Father in heaven, give us minds, hearts, lips that are slow to complain, slow to be put out, slow to anger, and quick to see you at work, to see your good, quick to be thankful because of all that we have through you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.